The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 31st, 2015. Believe it or not, this is it. This month is done. And here in upstate New York, it's in the 90s, and the humidity is cooking. They say by Wednesday, they're talking 95, so maybe this is the end of summer. I don't know. Whenever football starts with high school, right, that's when they go nuts, running doubles and everything. They're getting smoked, man. So we'll see what happens. But we're sponsored by Dr. William Wan's Essentials. He was on here Friday. We did a big show on sleep and recovery. And as you know, it always goes off the friggin' curve and we get into other stuff. And when he was talking about the old Weider stuff with the bombing and the blitzing and the flipping and this and that, and it was hilarious, man. It was a great show, and I'm going to try to get that up soon. Next, that's www.docspreferred.com. We got Hearts Collision here in Albany, New York. Alex and Lori are very good friends of mine. If you know anything, I talk about their son Alex all the time on the show. He's training with me, obviously. Great kid, doing well, getting ready for hoop. We'll see if my magic's worked for him a little bit. And if he stays the course, we're going to be doing strongman over the winter. So if he really wants to compete, he's going to get a real eye-opener then. He'll also be about 40 pounds heavier when he's here next spring. So it's going to be very, very interesting. HeartsCollision.com, 518-477-7937. Obviously, this is for New York State residents. Go see them. They'll take good care of you. Next, we got Sorenex. Sorenex.com, www.sorenex.com, I should say, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Tell Bert or Richard that we sent you, and they are sponsoring me for Iceland, too, like Dr. Wong. They sent a beautiful diamond bar. Specifically, I wanted one for the power rack. They're one of the few companies that make it, and you can press with it, too. One hell of a bar. So give them a call. Next, we have sponsorship for Motivation and Muscle. I don't know if I've said this on other shows, but we've just struck a we're working with Muscular Dystrophy Association. As you know, my brother Jimmy died of it, that is the driving force behind this whole entity we call FBC and M&M. It's $300 a month to come on board with us, obviously. If you need any branding, Chris can do that. If you look at our sites, he's done all that. There's going to be quite a bit more you're going to be seeing in the next few weeks. And we spoke with the head of MDA there, and we're going to have it all up because I want people to know the percentage that's coming off anybody that's doing sponsorship. It's going to be $30 initially to start, and the $30 will pay for flu shots for these kids. And I wanted everybody to know where the money was going, what it was going to, because, you know, whether you agree with flu shots or not, my brother Jimmy died of pneumonia. There was nothing else they could do. They did everything they could. He passed away in his sleep. And this is a problem with these kids. Their immune systems are very weak, and all they got to do is just get a common cold that we think nothing of, and it murders them, literally. So I want to tell everybody, come on board. We're going to be here for 25 years at least. We want to work together with you. We want to build together. And you can help us grow, and we'll definitely help you grow. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Same way with FiorelloBarbellCo.com, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Short ebook I did, 10 steps basically. Take action. Get out there. Nothing fancy. You don't need fancy. You go out there and just do basic things and build off them. Build your foundation. Winter Circle, that's done. That's just waiting all to come online with what Chris is going to do. That's 12 modules verbally of me speaking 27 to 34 minutes, which starts right from my beginnings, right through to my love of the power rack. Sandbag Domination, I called it, The Return of Iron Boots, Building Big Arms, you know, Philosophy, all the things we talk about on here. It's just me, and it's awesome. So take a look at that at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And then there's other things. There's Strength and Power Equals Success. You get the free training, the intensity training that's all out there on my YouTube channel. And last but not least, Chris Bigelow that does everything here. 800-687-1609, monsterdevelopment.com. You can also go to Fiorello Barbell and click on the bottom of that page, the home page. You'll link you right to him. Well, last week we had some problems, but we got our good friend John Hart back on here again. And we're going to, well, to let you know, give you a little history of John, and then he's going to come on and give a little bit about himself too. John was a natural Mr. America winner in 2013, and John is a natural bodybuilder. He's an author of two books. Obviously, I just said he's a bodybuilder. He's done some powerlifting. I call him a powerlifter because he likes to do a lot of power moves. And today, we're going to talk about volume and frequency and how it affects intensity, which will be real interesting because we all know how you train, how long you're in the gym, and the type of energy and strength that you're putting out there, how it affects whatever's going on in the next day two. You know, it all depends. So I'm sure we'll get all into that. John, welcome to Motivation Muscle, my friend.
Thanks, Eric. It's great to be back, man. I'm glad we got our technical difficulties straightened out. You know, it's really it's exciting to see the growth of your show. You know, every week I'm seeing new guests posting up through social media and through iTunes, and man, it's really cool. It's great to be a part of it.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, and you know, John, you're a regular here now once a month, and there's an awful lot of other gentlemen and ladies that are on here once a month. But you know, I've got some things in the works right now with some big names. If they come to fruition, that's great, but I'll tell you what, I think I've got the best group here of anybody out there. I mean, of course, I'm going to be partial to you guys anyways, but the information, I can't stress enough the emails and stuff I get. You know, it's the same thing from everybody. It's like, you know, I can't believe you're giving that type of content away. Or, you know, we love to hear the guys going back and forth, and there's always something going on, you know, or yeah. You know, they tell a little story about maybe something that happened to them when they were younger. The thing is, we're getting identification in a way that I don't want to say it's like the common man of lifting, but let's face it, man. You know, I'm getting things from guys that are like twisting wrenches, and you know, obviously Alex is a body man, that are listening to the show. And I think it's very important because, you know, you and I talk about manliness, and everybody else would get into this, and it's like, I don't care if you lift weights, you know, if you're out rolling hay around, or you're out I laugh because you look at these guys and, you know, they're doing this, they got goddamn wrists on them the size of a mini tree, you know, it's like, you're welcome, brother, come on in. So, and you know, I've got some other people, we're working right now with Peter Martin, the historian man from Scotland. I've gone back and forth with him a couple days. I can't wait. I hope it all works out when we get him on. This guy is unbelievable. So just to let people know, the amount of talent that's coming in and out of here is incredible, and we plan on growing. But I like this, John, like you said, with the growth. This is the thing. You don't have to be a professional to be on here, all right? And let's face it, there's a hell of a lot of good lifters in places we don't even know. Sure. They just don't want to compete. Yeah. All right, and they don't care about world records and stuff. So that's the thing. But, you know, give us a little bio on yourself, and I appreciate the nice comment. I really do, man, yeah. And your support. It's very important to me.
Yeah, well, no problem. But so, yes, you have it right. I've been a WNBF natural pro bodybuilder ever since the Mr. America contest back in 2013, and that qualified me as such. And in the last couple of years, I've been competing in the WNBF. That's the World Natural Bodybuilding Federation. And now we're my wife and myself are actually segueing a little bit into promoting, where we're promoting the WNBF LA Championships in Los Angeles. And that's on June 18th of 2016, a mere 9 months and 3 weeks away. So for anybody listening that has that kind of interest, it's time to prep now. for that show. And it's a pro qualifier, so we're excited about that. And you know, I'll tell you, Eric, you know, part of the bio is that I'm living my dream of, you know, my high school. You just spoke about stories, and I'll share this with the listeners right now. You know, when I was back in high school, you know, my high school guidance counselor was really trying to work me. This is back in 1981. Was trying to work me for giving me, you know, the best counsel that she could. She was trying to ask me what it was that I really enjoyed doing. And, you know, I was kind of like the guy that was good at a lot of things but not great at anything. So in a way, that made it more difficult kind of choosing what it is that I really wanted to do. So this one day she pins me down and she says, look, give me something. Give me anything. What do you really want to do? And, you know, my uncle just took me to a Boyer Co. seminar at Bath Beach Bodybuilding in Brooklyn, New York. That's where I'm from originally, in New York. And after that seminar, I had decided that I wanted to be a bodybuilder. You know, it was in my heart, you know. And so I shared that with her, and she actually says to me, okay, John, she was frustrated. And she goes, all right, look, poof, you have the best body in the world. What are you going to do with it? Show people how to lift weights for a living? And I looked at her, and, you know, she really kind of shamed me, you know. But this was back in 1981. And when I walked out of her office, I remember it clear as a bell. I walked out of her office, and as I was walking out, I pushed through the gate. It was like an old, you know, saloon bar gate. I swung it open, and I walked on out. And as I walked out of her office, I remember going, huh, showing people how to work out for a living. Man, that would be fun. And you know, Eric, in 1981, my job, I didn't even mention in my bio just now, my job, I am a personal trainer.
Right,
I have
a
very good business in Southern California, both in the gym as well as online. And, you know, people can search me out online, and they'll find me on my website and all that. But we'll get into that later. But the main point was I walked out of that office that day, and my job in 1981, if you think back, the real job as a personal trainer, there were very few people making money training people. They usually trained movie stars, sword and sandal type guys, and they were located usually in Southern California. But the rest of the world, you know, we had gyms where you had the, you know, $3.50 an hour trainer that was really pushing people through Nautilus routines back then, you know? That the gym was basically setting up just for their own liability. So basically my point here is that, you know, God had put something in my heart to be a bodybuilder. I didn't care the connection, how I would make money. I didn't care any of that stuff, you know?
Right.
However, and at that time, somebody who was right in front of me who was set to counsel me on the traditional educational type material and what college to go to, what career to pursue, whether it was a lawyer or a doctor, you know, whatever it was, a teacher, she did not have the same vision that I had at that one point in time. So I know I'm getting off track
right
off the bat.
That's fine. Don't worry.
But this story was so relevant because I had a vision in my heart. And, you know, Eric, that day somebody could have killed it. If I really, really was shamed enough, you know, I could have let her kill that vision. But the fact was that I didn't. I walked away from her even more strengthened inside. I kept it to myself. I didn't know, again, how would bodybuilding ever turn into any kind of a career whatsoever, because it just didn't exist. And I remember shaking my head and going, huh, teaching people how to work out for a living. Man, that would be so freaking cool. Now, Eric, check this out. In this last week alone, I've had people come in. I had a guy in here not 1 week ago in from the Netherlands, okay?
Yep.
He came from the other side of the planet. He follows me online. He contacted me 2 or 3 months ago, made an appointment with me, came to L.A. He trained with me. I blocked out 3 hours for the man. I mean, we videoed, we did audio, we did everything for him, and I answered every one of his questions and took him through a workout. I'll tell you something. I didn't know he was a personal trainer himself in Netherlands. So how cool is this that I get people like that? And that's not the first one. I've had people come in, you know, from Greece. I've had them come in from Italy. I've had them come in from all other parts of the world just to come and train with me. I mean, this is like a dream to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
It should be, too.
And I get paid. That's the other thing on top of it all.
You get paid for what you love.
Exactly. So if there's any message I could put out there, you know, to the listeners right now, you know, you guys are listening to two guys right now. Eric is living his dream right now, okay?
Yep.
John, me, I'm speaking to myself in the third person. I am living my dream right now, not just as a bodybuilder, but as I didn't realize I had this thing inside for teaching. It's so fun. Teach. I teach other trainers. I teach people how to work out. I teach people how to eat. I teach the lifestyle. So in general, it ends up being a situation where we're both operating within our gifts and our talents. And because of that, we're generally happier than people who punch in and punch out on a 9-to-5 that they hate daily. Yep. And they may have the good retirement account. They may have, you know, the nice income in the house and all that stuff. But you know, it's not to say that we can't have the same, okay?
Exactly, yeah.
So that's number one. I just wanted to share that story for anybody, whoever it might be relevant to. Feel free to enjoy that point of that story and pursue your dreams. There you go.
John, it's very relevant. I'll tell you why. I think maybe I've said this to you maybe offline. I might have said it to you online, but I don't say this too much, is this. I have people who are associated with the show and not, but ones that are in business, and they say to me this constantly, how did you get to this point so quick?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll tell you what I did. I said, I'm not going to have to put out a $10,000 piece of information to give you a few words. I decided that, you know, after all the shit hit the fan, that I was going to really go and do this stuff because I was living like a dual life. And it's like you can't, you know, that I was fortunate enough to be very good with IT software for these big IBM machines. And it paid to go to Iceland and it paid for whatever I wanted. All right. It was it'd be six figures right now, 2 years later.
Right.
But the problem was you're always I got to say it. You're surrounded by assholes on people that are not happy with their life. They make great money, but they're not thankful for many things.
Right.
And cubicle life for a guy like me is like putting me in a cage. I don't belong in a cage, all right? Maybe some people might think that, but I don't think that.
Just a power cage.
It is. It is. That's it. And, you know, you get to that point, and it was it. You know, they let a whole bunch of us go. All the projects were done. See you later. And, you know, everybody will tell you the economy's no good. Well, it's not great, but that's a whole other thing. So, you know, I decided enough was enough. You know, you got to go after things. And when people ask me those things, it's like, you know, you got to be out there every day. You got to work, man. You got to come up with ideas. You got to be one step ahead of the next thing that could be happening. And that's how I go after everything, you know. Now, I'm not going to say to anybody out there that I don't have days, man. I had some days in the last few weeks that I was telling a good friend of mine today who called me a few hours back. I really could have impaled that laptop right through the wall and let it stick out of it. And everybody has these because one thing I get tired of right now, and we're going to get started, is this. I get tired of seeing people trying to promote everything's great, 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 and I never have a bad day. Anybody that's trying to promote that, get the fuck out of here and run the opposite way because I'm telling you right now you're going to get soaked. And you're going to get hurt. And I've gone, and probably John's had this too. I've had family problems where we don't speak, you know, because everybody's an authority. And I get this from someone in my family that good guy, makes a lot of money, but thinks he knows what's best for me. And it's like, so you're going to hang up, you know, 80 plus thousand a year to go do this. He's like, are you effing insane? You know, and, you know, it's like, well, you're not my dad, so, you know, don't say a thing. So, there's a lot of fallout with things. I've lost friends too because they don't understand why you would go after something. You know, lifting for how far it's come still is looked at like the stepchild. Okay, it's like, why do you want to get into something like that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, well, I got news for you. There's no guarantees in life, but you're in a hell of a lot better chance of living a long, happy life when you're in shape. Yeah. And I'll leave it at that. If you can't figure that out, then you're never going to figure out what you and I are ever going to talk about.
That's right.
But
it's got to be in your heart, too.
It has to be. You have to be hungry, though, you know, with everything you do. You know, I don't care. John's married. He's got kids. if he wants to keep his marriage together and keep his kids intact, John's got to still be hungry for love in his life.
Yeah.
And he's got to pursue things the way – and I don't mean to speak for you either, John, but I'm talking on my end too. It's like you got to be hungry, you know, relationships with girlfriends and all that. They just don't stop because you're dating, man. It's like you got to grow the shit. You got to do things together. You got to get to know each other, man. People just don't put the time in the things that are important. They'd rather know the latest phone or the latest gadget. You know what I say to that? I use it for the business. The rest of it, I could give a shit. So let's move right in. If you got anything to say, go ahead, man, and then we'll go right in.
So that was fun, by the way. The teaching that I'd like to teach and speak on, you know, of course, with you today is that, you know, you mentioned at the very onset of this show that you talked about how you like to call me a power lifter because I like to do the basics. You mentioned doing the basics. You mentioned, you know, lift something heavy. You mentioned these. Once you establish the basics, that's what you stick with. And here's the thing is that, you know, you can know exercises. You can know foods. You can know all of these things. You can know supplements, too, for that matter. Okay. And you could be missing on some of the most basic principles. And you mentioned the topic, like we talked about offline, frequency and volume and how they can affect your intensity in the gym. Now, this is the thing is that, you know, we all, Eric, exist. God put us inside these bodies. These are survival machines that we walk around in. Okay.
Yep.
They're designed for survival. They're not designed for, you know, the vain, how do I look, you know, situation.
Right.
They're not, you know, they are designed for survival. They're not designed for the strongman contest. They're designed for, you know, saving your life when a tiger tries to jump on you, you know, or a mountain lion, you know. I mean, they're designed for that type of a situation, that we are supposed to be survivors, okay, whether we're in a, you know, a starvation situation or on an oasis or, you know, a dehydration situation. So when it comes to things like our exercise and our bodybuilding and our powerlifting and our stones and all of that, there's a direct relationship when we go to work out between, when I say volume, I'm talking about the total amount of work that you're going to do. Everybody thinks in their head, we're going to handle these one at a time, okay? We may go into two shows, Eric. I'm going to tell you right now, okay?
Okay, so, yep.
Number one is volume, okay? That's how much work you're going to do. Now, right off the bat, a lot of guys start thinking and girls start thinking, well, you know, my workout is not that long. I'm not talking about your workout. I'm talking about how much work you're going to do in a week. How about a month, okay? How about the next 6 months? How's that look, you know? So,
yep.
When people start thinking in terms of my workout, they're thinking only in terms of what I'm going to do on Monday, you know? And here's the thing. You can go in the gym today on Monday with the plan of I'm going to do a certain number of sets of bench presses, a certain number of sets of, you know, deadlift, whatever the choice is that you're doing that day, okay? And
mm-hmm.
that volume, when you do a certain amount of volume, it's not endless. You cannot continue to expend energy endlessly. When you do, this is, you know, you have reserves in your body, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you continue to use those reserves just aimlessly without a plan, so you have to have a plan in place. So one of the things that, who did we speak about before? Oh, my gosh, his name just jumped right out of my head. Dave. Powerlifter.
David Shaw.
Dave Shaw. Okay. Forgive me, Dave. All right. One of the things that he had hammered into my head when I had that fateful meeting with him back in the late 80s was that, you know, he had talked to me about how at his peak he was training. Now, this is a frequency thing. I'll get there in a moment. But he was training, you know, 3 days a week, 4 days max. But this is while he was training for world championships, okay? And when he talked about his workouts and the volume, the amount of work that he would do within a given workout, it was always geared towards his power lifts. As a power lifter, they should be squats, bench presses, deadlifts. But when he talked about the deadlift. He was not a big, you know, deadlift three times a week. He kept that back to where it was, you know, every other week, such as that, okay? When he talked about the volume of the amount of work that he did, to me it seemed, you know, so minimal. I remember going, wow, you know, this is just such a small amount of exercise that he was doing compared to what everybody else, even the powerlifters, were doing. And yet he was pulling 800 and something pounds off the floor. Yeah. It was ridiculous. And he looked like a mountain walking down the street. So right off the bat, he emphasized to me the amount of work being done within a workout. I was caught when it came up to the frequency of his workouts. So we have, number one, a concern with volume. How much are we going to do, number one, within a workout? But expand your mind to thinking also within the given week. If you're going to do one workout, two workouts, three workouts, four workouts, that volume adds up in the course of a week. Well, as you know, Eric, I'm not married to the weekly amount of workouts. I think in terms of, you know, how long does the whole cycle take, whether it's 9 days, whether it's 8 days, whether it's 11 days, however many days it takes for you to cycle through your workouts as you do, the volume is very important to consider, okay? Now, the more volume you do, now we're going to make an equation here. I'm just describing what volume is. It's what we do, the amount of sets, the amount of reps that we do, the amount of times we lift a stone, the amount of weight, you know, combined with all of that affects volume in the course of one workout, in the course of a week's workout, in the course of a month's workout. I recommend anybody out there, take a monthly calendar, a desktop calendar, get out of your electronics just for 10 minutes and get a desktop calendar, lay it down on the desk in the month of September 2015 and map out your workouts in the course of the entire month. Just write them down. That's going to lead us to frequency, okay? However, within those workouts, start to write down what it is you're doing within those workouts, and now you're going to see that on certain workouts, you're actually doing quite a bit of work as far as the volume of workouts. Guys start to think that, well, you know, because I did some heavy squatting yesterday, you know, today I'll just do, you know, my arms and my calves, or I'll just do, and they think smaller body parts or smaller exercises. This is all volume being added onto what you just did yesterday. So your body cannot be detached from your legs. It cannot be detached from something that's already been worked yesterday. So volume is very important. Once you lay out on that desktop calendar the number of workouts that you're planning in the course of the next month, rip out the pages and go, here's September. Put next to that, now you're on the floor with this desktop calendar. Put on October after that. Put November after that. And lay out, map out, what do the next 3 months look like as far as the frequency, how many workouts you do within a given time period. Do you cycle those? When do you get time off? As you know, Eric, we've talked about this before. Can't be lifting all the time, endlessly, like a machine, you know? Nope. There's going to be a time period where you have to take some days off. You have to plan out, you know, an off period or a recovery cycle, so to speak, you know? So if you don't, then you're heading for burnout. Now, as we go and we write this down, as I'm recommending, on a desktop-type calendar, rather than just, you know, randomly picking your workouts, thinking in terms of 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks, you go ahead and you write them out over the course of three solid months. Now you're starting to see the type of frequency that you have, and you're starting to see at some point in time, if you keep notes on how your workouts are going, or regardless of whether or not you keep notes, if you notice at some point in time that you're just plain burnt out, mark it down on that calendar. It might happen if you started September 1st, it might happen around October 12th or October 15th. Yep. Six weeks into it, you might notice, man, you just don't want to. You don't want to step out in that driveway and lift those stones. You don't want to go to the gym and lift that barbell. You just don't have it for squatting today. You're not going to that squat rack today. You know, mentally, you just suddenly don't have it. okay? And physically, there may be physical symptoms that come along with it as well. So you have to be aware of when is that hitting you, and then you can look at why might that be hitting you. Are you still doing your favorite type of workouts that have way too much volume in them, or are you planning them out and mapping them out properly? If all of a sudden at 6 weeks it's hitting you, or at 4 weeks it's hitting you way too hard, you may be doing way too much. Because I've known, as you know, Erica, I've mapped out powerlifting cycles, you know, 8 week, 12 week cycles. Yep. And you know, 3 months of training, if you're mapping it out properly, you should be able to go, you know, that long before stepping out. Unless, of course, you're shooting up that intensity super high. I'm getting to that subject in a second, okay?
Right.
So
yeah.
The bottom line is that volume and frequency, if you adjust it properly, then you can go longer periods of time training and hit your goals, whether it's a strength goal or it's a bodybuilding goal. We have to map out, first of all, what is the goal, okay? And then adjust the volume, the amount of work that you're going to do within each workout, and then also within each week, and then also within each month. As I just suggested, at some point in time, if it's 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks into it, and you start to notice total burnout is setting in, okay? And this does happen, by the way. Six, 7 weeks into it, burnout is setting in. What you can do is, rather than step back entirely and say, well, I'm going to take a week off, or somehow I blew this cycle, you can adjust the volume down of each workout, or adjust the frequency down to where you're not working out, you know, 5 days in a week or 4 days in a week. You know, cut it down a day, take an extra couple of days off, and map that out, continuing your cycle on those desktop calendars. So it is important. In my mind, you know, I don't schedule such things, you know, on my iPad or on my on my phone or my electronics or my laptop. I don't like to do it on those things. I have to do it manually, old school, so that I can actually physically see it laid out in the course of, you know, 3 or 4 months in a row. Now, how do those things affect intensity? Well, you know, the intensity, if we do an equation where we say, you know, volume plus frequency, you know, on the left side of the equation, you put an equal sign on the right-hand side, and we have intensity on the opposite side of the equation. The higher the volume, okay, the intensity is going to be jacked up all of a sudden. All within a short period of time, you're going to notice in one workout or even within a week, you can have weeks where you double your volume or triple your volume of work, and you're going to feel it. My friend, you just told me a moment ago that you worked out last night and you're just blown from that workout, feeling it still today, you know?
My lower back, and I'll tell you what, right now, my lower back and hamstrings sitting here talking to you feel like somebody's taking a baseball bat to my rib cage and everything right now, right? Look, here's the thing I always say. To adapt, you must adjust, okay? Now, And we'll get you right back in, because I can tell you're fired up like crazy today. I love it. But I am too. So here's the deal. This is why you and I do well together. With everything you're going to do and touch and map out, and I love all the old school, because I have a calendar that's right on the chimney in my garage, nailed, okay? Yeah. So it's got notes and stuff all over it, because what I want to do is every time I go back to that power rack, I want to see that thing to my right side. But it's always in my – when I'm in the garage, it's visually always in sight. I can't read it from if I'm at the end, but I can see all the scribble on it, so I know things are going on. But the whole thing with this whole deal is this, and you got it nailed right on the head here, John, is this. Everybody's very exuberant in the beginning. You know, you kind of need a few days to break in. At least I do. Even an established lifter, I'm not going to go after what I was going to – that I kicked out with, providing I went out of there on a good high, okay?
Right.
But it takes a little bit to get back, and then you start progressing, and you got your ideas, what you want to use and move, and et cetera, et cetera. But the funny thing is I've done this to myself a number of times. Within 3 weeks, I'm going like crazy, okay? And, man, I can't wait to get out there, and I'm feeling it. And then all of a sudden, 4.5 weeks in,
right.
something's happening now, man. What felt easy 2 weeks ago is kind of coming up slow. Right. And you talked about other factors. Well, you might not be sleeping well. You might be in the bathroom more than you usually. Your appetite, for me, that's a given right there. If I'm not eating or I just don't feel like it, I know I've got problems happening right now, okay?
Right.
I think with all the volume and frequency, and you and I both know, you know with powerlifting, bodybuilding, and I'm doing a lot of the same things. I do different things that is like bodybuilding. I'm not always out there ripping shit off the ground because some days my body says, hey, you know what? Train at 50% today and you're going to be able to come out and do it 2 days from now instead of trying to go at 90 and you're hammered and that's the end of you for 2 weeks, all right?
Yes, yeah.
Because I can't deload a lot of times. I'll get myself to that point where coming back lighter is not going to fix me. I need 7 days off and that's it, all right? Then I come back. But for some people, they got to do that. But you and I are, and everybody else on the show, are very intense individuals, whether when we're talking here like this or we're outside or in a gym or wherever the establishment is that you're beating the crap out of stuff and it's beating the crap back out of you. And what I find more than anything is I kill myself with intensity because I don't want to let up mentally or verbally because I've told you before on shows – there's people who've come back and they're like, is somebody else out here with you? I was like, no, it's me talking to me or yelling at me, all right? Right. That's how it works. But, you know, get back into it. I just want to tell you, it's just, for me, I have a tendency sometimes I might train every other day for maybe a week, all right? And then I go every 3 days for a week. And then I might only do two in that whole week. And they're like, how do you doing that? I was like, because your body, I used to always like to call it biorhythms, you know? And it's like, you know, you're up and you're down, and when the moon's out full, you know, you can do it. All right. What I find with it is I just try to pace myself in a fashion. Like if I know I'm doing heavy, heavy stones, like say tonight, I know I'm not coming out for at least 2 days minimum. All right? Because there's two things I want to replenish big time. Food, because I know I'm going to be very, very hungry after doing stuff like that, and that's going to go on for a few days. And obviously, I need to get all the sleep I can get, and that's something that's left out a lot. You know, everybody's big about recovery, and I'm totally with a lot of it, but you know something I hear a lot in recovery, John, is the word sleep.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, if you don't sleep, I got news for you. You're going to an early grave, and secondly, you're not going to recover from this type of brutality.
Absolutely true. Absolutely.
So when we're in this phase of intensity, all right, now you've done this enough and you've trained enough people. What we're talking just you now.
Okay.
All right. Now,
okay.
Let's just say we've mapped everything out to December of this year. And we know what we're going to do. We're going to try to stay on with what we plan exercise-wise. But I'll tell you one thing, John. I know just from training people and being a trainer and all that, sometimes the exercises we put in don't always work, or we might have to back that one out and put another one in. And I think that's the basis of a great trainer or an athlete, because when you know something's not right, or maybe something's bothering a body part on you, I think, and I'll tell you something quickly, and I know you'll be interested in this. Ever since I banged up this left shoulder, now it's starting to come back more and more, and I'm able to do a lot of things. We're not 100% there, but I'm able to do things I couldn't do 14 weeks ago. I thank God for it, believe me. The little things that you don't, that you take for granted, man, and then they happen to you, and suddenly you understand what the hell is going on, you know?
Yeah.
Little things like pinning your arm back to hold a squat bar. Oh, that's nothing. Well, hurt your shoulder and then tell me how it feels, right? But you know what I've done, and I think this might be of interest to you if you haven't done this. Tomorrow night I got to train. Tomorrow night, because of the left side, I will train the left side only. And what I'll do, I'll give everybody what I'm doing. I'll do left-sided squats, and what I do is I set the bar on the rods like I would do with a normal dead stop with two arms, and I'll work the left side with the Apollon axle. And I'll tell you why, because the axle will be big, it'll sit right in the trap, it won't give me any difficulty because I've already tested it to make sure it doesn't hurt anything. I get the two arms out in front of me like that, and away it comes off, okay? That's one, all right? So that's a push. Now we're going to go to a pull. So I'm going to grab either a 1-inch or a 2-inch dumbbell, and I'm going to set it at all different heights on plates, okay? And if they get real big, then I'll use straps. And I'll pull that. And in fact, if I feel real good, I'll even do big heaves with it, okay? It ain't pretty, but you can heave up a pretty damn big dumbbell to your, you know, lat, chest, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Then last but not least, I'll set up the homemade piece that we have for the power rack that the rods go through, and I can set it at any height in the rack, and I can put any size dumbbell through the saddle in the center, mm-hmm. slip my hand right up through the middle, and push that thing and be safe as can be. And then I'll do like one-handed grip work on a grip machine. You know, I won't be able to go super heavy, obviously, with that. And I'll do a few things like that. And I'm done, all right? Now, you know what this does? And a lot of people have said to me, why? Well, I feel my left side's got to be the weaker side because I'm having these problems on here. That's where I tore the arm, and then I had the shoulder. Now, I've had stuff on the right, obviously, but to me, I'm a righty. I do a lot of things with the left. I have a tendency to pick things up with the left hand a lot because we have southpaws in my family anyways. Two of my brothers are southpaws. My aunts are, you know, it's genetically in both sides of the family, okay? So that's just a little ditty I want to pass off to everybody because I think there's a lot of relevance in that. And if you know, I had done where I trained left, right, left like that months on end like that. And let me tell you, man, I was stronger than a SOB, man. I mean it. So I just want to pass that on. So take the show, man.
Yeah, man.
Go.
So volume and frequency, okay, where I was, is
yep.
the if you overshoot the volume, and we were talking originally about, you know, how it affects your intensity, okay?
Yep.
A moment
yep.
ago you mentioned how you downgrade, make adjustments at times, how you go from, you know, 4 to 3 to 2 workouts in the course of a week. And I was glad you said that because it just reminded me of how what you've done in that case is you're able to train twice a week because your intensity is super high at that point and you've set a foundation. The foundation is that you've already trained for weeks on end at 4, 3,
yep.
and now you're able to generate certain amounts of intensity along with moving a certain amount of weight that is usually at the upper end of what you can do. So once you do get to that end of the scale, it requires that you cut down on the frequency. You can't maintain the same frequency and yet expect the same intensity. Guys, they bang their heads against the wall. I see it every day in the gym where they bang their heads against the wall. They're trying to lift the same amount of weight. They're trying to break records for the same number of sets. And the problem with that, again, volume, too many sets at some point in time. It's almost like two trains on two tracks coming at each other. They're going to intersect. There's going to be a crash at some point in time where if you keep on increasing or keep at that same, let's say the same volume of work along with the same frequency, and you keep increasing the weight, what ends up mm-hmm. happening is that intensity starts to rise so high that it demands that you decrease either volume, the amount of work that you do within those workouts, or the frequency, how often you work out. I'm not a big guy, I'm a high intensity trainer advocate. I believe in high intensity training. So the most guys out there hearing this that know me, they know I am. Okay, they know the whole Mike Mentzer background, heavy duty, and all that I've had. So I am not, however, a big believer in dropping the frequency to the point where you're only working out once every 1 or 2 weeks. To me, that's getting to the ridiculous, and you might as well just take a full, you know, take a planned time off or a deload period, whatever the case may be, but you don't, you know, schedule it out so far that it's as if you're not working out any longer. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, and you get out of rhythm and you can get hurt because if you try to come back hard after that, you're going to do something to yourself. And not only that, you know, think about the mental end of it, John, because you're going to come back and you're not going to be mentally prepared. And then it's going to be like if your mind's wandering, you and I both know what happens if you're trying to set records that day, okay? So, yeah, go ahead. I mean, that's a very important fact because I always say once you lose the mental edge with anything in your life, you're done.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get that edge back.
Yeah, and you got to be sharp. You're right. And if you're already hitting that burnout period where, you know, your volume has been at a certain level, the frequency has been at a certain level, and again, just in case they missed it, okay, the volume, just defined, the volume is the amount of work, the number of sets, the amount of work, how long your workout lasts even is a factor that's involved, you know. So if you want to go ahead and do a certain number of sets of exercises, you know, with a certain amount of weight, you know, that's a volume, that's an amount of work that you're doing. The frequency is how often you're doing it, okay? So those two factors, and I'm being general about it on purpose because it's designed to make you think. Look at your own workout. Look in your own discipline. If we're talking about, you know, bodybuilding, I experience this all the time. Guys work out 6 days a week. They still do 20. Believe it or not, Eric, there are guys that work out 6 days a week and still do 20 sets per body part. I mean, my God, if you don't get this in 2015, that was Arnold's workout, you know, back in the 70s. And, let's just be clear about it, okay? There were enhancements involved. There were. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, we don't have to beat around the bush. There were enhancements involved, you know, performance enhancing drugs involved that allowed for such workouts to be done, but they could only be maintained for so long. And even those guys, I know a lot of the old timers from the 70s, they even told me, they showed me how they would back off after the contest. They wouldn't work out at that same level. But guys would read it in a magazine, they get it in their heads that 6 days a week, 20 sets of body part. And I know some men to this day that they were in their 20s back then. They are now in their 60s, approaching 70s, right? And they still try to work out that way because of this one routine that worked so well back in the 70s and in the 80s. And in their minds, they think they have to do the same thing. It's just like there was a book that was written a while back called, you know, Who Moved My Cheese? I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, I've never heard of that one, no.
Okay, it's called Who Moved My Cheese, and it's a great business-related book, but it talks about different kinds of rats in a maze and how some rats will keep going to the same corner expecting the same result. Even after you take away the cheese, they'll keep going to the same corner expecting the same result that the cheese or the food would be there, even to the point where they'll just die from starvation. You have to adjust, and that's what that book is about. At some point in time, you have to make adjustments and seek out where is the cheese, where are the results, and you have to adjust the volume of those workouts, the frequency of those workouts. Otherwise, you're heading for, you know, a massive collision, and that's going to be totally affecting the intensity of your workouts. You and I are cut from the same cloth. We like high intensity, balls out effort. We like, you know, getting intense about these things, man, and just seeing how far we can push ourselves physically and mentally. It's so much fun to do it. And, you know, I loved your story last time about, you know, lifting those sandbags in the rain just because it was fun, you know?
Yeah.
And how they got heavier and heavier. It was awesome with the rain.
Covered in mud, man. Right. If you saw me, you'd be like, where's his face? You know? But you know something, John? The whole point of that is, there comes a point in your life, especially when you get hurt and you're out there and you're like, I can't take this no more. And I'm gonna go for broke here. And it's like, that's what it is, man. It's like we talked about passion. We talked about the love for this sport. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, how in school, I mean, you know, this is how it is. People want one size fits all, and they don't want John Hart going and being a trainer or a bodybuilder because to them it doesn't make sense. Well, there's a lot of things in the world that don't make sense, okay? But that doesn't mean you don't go do them. Because if you feel in your heart that you can do that, and that's a big thing right there. You have to have a belief system that's second to none. And we all get knocked back, knocked down, and we question. Because I question every day. I think I asked you that question last time on the show. I've been asking everybody this all the time. It's like, why do you lift?
Right.
I ask myself that every day now, and I can come up with a different answer every day, all right? And the thing is, people get to like the rats with the cheese, you know? Okay, we get it, now we get used to it. It's the same way with everything you do. It's like you start running this pattern day after day, and then it becomes year, and then years, and it's like you never change. And then when somebody like you and I walk up, or you meet somebody that's done that for the first time, they're like in awe of you. They're amazed. Well, how do you do that, and how have you done that for so long? Well, here's what I tell people more than anything now. Like you, doing what you do is automatic.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with me. Yeah. But here's the difference. I'm never comfortable or satisfied with automatic. And I've told people before, when I'm hurt or I'm not training right, I feel ordinary, and I don't like feeling ordinary. I always want to be extraordinary.
Very
That's
good.
My belief. You know. So, go ahead.
So, yeah. Oh, man. That was very good. So, yes. So, when you just mentioned the thing again, I got so lost for a moment in my thoughts about and taken away when you mentioned again what I brought up about the rats and the cheese and
absolutely.
These are metaphors for people every single day, whether it's in their training or whether it's in their jobs. You know, when you just mentioned, you know, you have to make adjustments, otherwise, you know, you're doing the same thing every day expecting a new result. You're not going to get it. You know, basically, somebody at some point in time thought about and imagined an internet, and now here you and I are
right.
able
right.
to use Skype. Somebody
yep.
thought about Skype, and somebody laughed at them, I'm sure, you know?
Many, many.
Right. So, you know, at some point in time, we wouldn't have guys like Steve Jobs with Microsoft. We wouldn't have, you know, even as much as the media makes a joke of him, you know, Donald Trump right now doing the business that he's doing. You know,
Look, man. You know something? I feel when they go after people like that, they fear him.
Absolutely.
Right?
And
when you go and trying to ruin somebody, but the thing is with Trump right now that's very interesting is what situation hasn't this guy been in?
Oh,
seriously,
man.
I mean, we you know. And you know damn well he's got protection no matter what he's doing,
right.
all right?
Right?
Who knows what he has, and I don't care. It's none of my business.
Right.
The point is he's resonating with people, and they like to come out at first and say, well, they're all these wacky evangelicals or they're all conservatives. I hate the point. I've been looking at the demographics.
Yeah.
He's touching every piece of culture in this country. Of course,
yep.
Mexico's mad at him, but the guy that's mad at him, I don't put much stake into anyways, all right?
Right, right?
So people are, you know what it is too, and this is something that comes out with our shows and everybody's, people like alpha males, man.
Yep.
He's an alpha male. You haven't seen a guy talk like that politically or publicly in probably the last 20 years since all the PC stuff's been just hanging over everywhere. He doesn't care. He's going to tell you what's on his mind.
That's right.
I think it's very important. Look, I think honesty is something that we've lost in a big way in this world, all right? And I'm very blunt and honest with people, and I never try to hurt anyone's feelings, but I always say to people, don't ask me if you don't want me to tell you, okay? And I think it's very important because I don't put up with it. I think I've talked to you before. I believe honesty is big time, and it's the same with the show here.
Yeah.
I'm a very loyal man to people, and I expect that from people here too. And if you can't give loyalty to me, and I'm not saying you got to run out in front of a car for me. I'm just talking when you have something, show up. If you got something on your mind you want to talk about, let's talk about it. If there's something bothering you with me, speak to me, all right?
Yeah.
I don't like to hold back with people, and I've always operated that way. Have I lost a lot of people? Yep. Have I gained a lot of people? Yeah. So I think the people that pretty much bag you and say, ah, this guy, you know, blah, 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 they got problems with themselves they got to go fix.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not my job to fix you. You know, you need to fix yourself.
Got
you know? Here's what you do, brother. You go out in that garage today, it's 90, probably 3 out here with high humidity right now.
Yeah.
So I guarantee it's at least 102 out there. Go out and go do that for a while. And then I guarantee you're not going to complain about whoever it is you're complaining about. You might just find out that you got some balls left within you. And you know something? You might do what you said. Maybe now we figure things out and we're not training 6 days a week. We're training 4 days and our frequency is dropping, our volume's dropping. where we still got intensity,
yeah,
and we can still go do shit, all right?
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
it's all about, man. Now you got me all fired up, so go ahead.
Well, like I said, I know we can't go on for 2 hours about this, but
no, we've got a little while.
But the intensity, if your interest is in maintaining a decent amount of intensity, okay, those
yep.
two main variables, the amount of work that you're going to do and then the frequency of that work is going to directly affect your intensity. It's also a given that you do need to back it up nutritionally. You do need to back it up as far as your sleep, as far as your rest goes. I know for a fact all these little minor injuries that I've had over the years, most of them were actually sleep-related, lack of sleep-related. They were not necessarily from stupid training-related, okay?
Yep.
So
yep.
I noticed also the converse to be very true, that I could have been hurting physically at times, and all of a sudden I go from, you know, six and a half hours of sleep, if I'm having a really particularly, you know, rough couple of months, whether it's, you know, working extra challenge, you know, extra hard at work, or putting in
yeah.
a lot of hours in work, and then all of a sudden, bang, I knock it even, 8 hours of sleep, and man, all of a sudden, I go in the gym, it's like I'm unleashed like an animal. There's so
yep.
much drive, and
yep.
I could go on, it feels like I could go on forever. And what did
yep.
I do? It's not like I improved my recovery so much, I just basically brought myself up to where I should be recovering normally. So,
yep.
It's not super recovery, it's my normal recovery. But, you know, people handicap themselves by not getting enough sleep. You're right when you mentioned that earlier on. So, you know, maintaining that intensity, which I know we're going to have a whole other show about that at some point
sure,
soon.
Sure.
But maintaining that level of intensity, whether you're talking about your in-season for Iceland or your
yep.
in-season, I always make the analogies that we're talking about, whether it's stones, powerlifting, or bodybuilding, does not matter, okay?
No, it doesn't.
Yes. So whether you got a contest coming up, you want to maintain, you want to increase that intensity for bodybuilding, you know, to its highest levels up to about a month out from that show when your body fat is at its absolute lowest, you know,
yep.
3 or 4 weeks out of the show. Notice I said that 3 or 4 weeks out of the show, you know, before the show, not leading right up to the show, but you're pretty much ready at 3 weeks out from the show.
Sure. Sure.
If you are, the intensity levels at that point, you've already maxed everything out muscle-wise. Not much is going to change in the last 3 weeks. You're pretty much letting the skin tighten up and get
yep.
nice, hard, grainy look right before
yep.
the show. So
yep.
I got to tell you, during those times, how strong can you possibly be? When all the fat in between those muscle fibers has started to disintegrate, you know,
yep.
the truth is that you don't have as good a leverage as you did when there was fat marbled in between those muscle fibers and surrounding them between the joints. So, of course, you're stronger then. So the strength levels may drop off just before a show. And the intensity, of course, at that point in time, you got to be extra mindful of it. So, because we're hitting a dangerous point at that point with unnaturally low body
right.
levels. So
right.
my bottom line on that is when we're talking about, and I know guys, you know, a bunch of them listen because I'm the bodybuilder, so I'm going to address that just for a couple minutes, and that's,
sure.
you know, that when we're talking about preparing, you know, for natural bodybuilding contests, specifically, okay, and for the girls that are listening, you know, natural bikini, natural physique, natural figure. When we're talking about that, we're talking about preparing for a show. When you want to maximize those intensity levels right up until 4 weeks out from that show or so, and then back it off a little bit leading into the show. Maybe just train to positive failure. But prior to that, and also balance out that frequency and that volume to where you're doing a steady state amount of work just leading into the show. But prior to that, you should have regulated, adjusted things to a point, and I write about this in my books too. You should adjust things. Eric mentioned it earlier in this program. Adjust the volume, adjust the frequency to a point where, I know it sounds like adjusting a radio station, but adjust the amount of work you're going to do down, not up, but down. Adjust the frequency down to a point where you're able to go into that gym, into that garage, like an animal, each time, you know, leading into where you're going to hit that point, you know, where that body fat level is at its absolute lowest. So we can get the best combination of muscle up and fat down. So I'm just entering these thoughts into your head right now, you know, for future shows that we have. So I'll address it again in future shows. But for today, I wanted to get into just a little bit of teaching on, you know, to think about the volume of work that we do, how often, parentheses, the frequency that we do it, and how that affects the intensity. Guys and girls, you got to understand that the intensity cannot be maintained. It's physically impossible. If you're increasing your strength along with keeping that volume and that frequency the same, you know, you cannot maintain that. That's a death blow to some people down the line when all of a sudden they find they cannot progress any longer, and then they usually incur an injury. They usually incur burnout, one or the other. A nervous system injury is just plain burnout. A physical injury, you know, they may be tearing up those tendons just a little bit too much. They may be, you know, tearing up those joints just a little too much. And I know I'm not being super scientific about it right now, but I want to just enter these thoughts into everybody's minds that at some point in time, you have to learn how to make those adjustments along the way to your own training. And regardless of what I say or what anybody else says, how often you should train, there's no cookie cutter formula. Eric just mentioned it a few moments ago that you know, when he goes from four times a week and then all of a sudden, you know, the following week it's three times, and then it may be two, you know, a couple weeks after that. You know, I use those same principles when I'm training myself. You know, in my off season, there's never really an off season, but my off season when I'm not directly reducing body fat levels, that's what I technically would call an off season, versus when I'm trying to reduce body fat levels, that's my in season. In both periods, as my intensity raises up to higher and higher levels, that means I'm generating more intensity. I'm lifting. Let's define intensity. I really didn't define intensity. Intensity is, you know, you can affect intensity, okay, in these ways. You can raise the intensity by lifting heavier weights, okay, for the same number of repetitions, for the same number of sets. You can raise the weight. You just raised the intensity, I mean, geometrically. It's super intense. If you were to lift a heavier weight for all of your sets, for all the same number of repetitions, even if you added a two-pound plate to a barbell, even if you slapped on an extra part of a sandbag, even if you added a chain to something, you just increased the intensity by increasing the weight. That's one way of increasing the intensity. A second way of increasing it is by increasing the volume, the number of sets, or the number of repetitions that you've done with a given weight. That's another way of increasing your intensity. Okay? Another way of increasing your intensity is increasing the frequency of those workouts. Okay? So if you suddenly decide I'm going to increase the frequency of the workouts, there's a time for that, okay?
Yep.
And if you do that, you just increase the intensity of those workouts by doing more often the same amount of work, or even a combination of both, more work, more often, and man, you just shot it straight off the charts, okay?
Yep.
Your intensity goes through the roof. How do you increase intensity in other ways? Well, you can use certain techniques. You don't always have to lift to positive failure. We've talked about this before, the ability to statically hold a super heavy weight, the ability to do negatives in rest pause fashion, the ability to do rest pause repetitions, heavy singles, okay, which is actually something that Mike Mentzer used back in the 70s, which I apply regularly, heavy singles as a power lifter would, but you know, with much shortened time periods in between.
Right.
So
right.
We get a bodybuilding type effect from it. So when you do any one of these things, you are increasing the intensity of those workouts. You can only maintain that for a certain amount of time before, again, you have to adjust. So these are sort of microcycles that we're talking about now. These are all principles that are all common to powerlifting, common to stone. Everybody understands these words, microcycles, macro cycles. And the only way you can truly see what it is you're doing, and this is the best advice I can give you besides having that monthly planner, you know, out on your desk for 2 or 3 months in a row, lay it out. The next thing I could tell you is consult with a professional. Contact a guy like Eric. Contact a guy like myself. You know, find the answers. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. You know, I've always said, and now I'll address this too. We're having our Donald Trump moment here, okay? I'm just going to say it flat out, Eric, okay? I'm going to say it flat out, okay? When I say on a radio program or when I say on an interview that, look, guys, you know, you can contact me, okay? I'm happy to answer a question, whether it's through social media or whether it's through, you know, my email, through my website, which, by the way, is www.intenseheart.com, INTENSEHEART.com. Okay, so if you go ahead and contact me and you have a simple question, okay, I'll be honest with you. I have no problem answering it. I love communicating with people. But, you know, there have been a couple of people who have kind of, you know, taken advantage of that, and they kind of blown it for a while for a lot of guys because and girls, you know, because they press for 2, 3, 5 questions, you know, and they keep going. Now it's in the realm of a consultation, and now it appears as if I'm being rude if I cut it and I say, look, we need to discuss the price of our consultation now, okay?
Right.
And I go into that conversation. And some people don't want to hear it. So I'll be honest, that's my Trump moment right here, okay?
Yep.
It's just, look at me. I'm a nice guy. I really appreciate it. I love people, man. I really do. I love people. I really do. I'm a people person. But I got to say that if anybody does, feel free, contact me through social media, through the email, you know, through Eric, any way you want. I'm happy to answer a question. I love to, you know.
Yep.
But be respectful and understand that. A guy like Eric, I know already. Eric, let's be honest. How many shows did you do this past week? Be honest. Last week, how many did you do?
Last week I did 12. This week will be, I cut down. We'll have 9 this week.
Okay.
The week before was 15.
Yeah, I remember that one. Okay, so that was the week that we were speaking. Okay, so Eric had done 15 shows that week. By the time he got around to me, his voice was finished. He was asking me just pretty much just go ahead and do the show, okay?
Yeah.
So basically, you know, at that point in time, a lot of people think, you know, that we're just, you know, I'm not setting us apart in sounding arrogant, but I'm actually just pointing out that, you know, like you said, I'm a family man. I have a beautiful wife and children, and I put energy towards them. I put energy towards training my clients in the gym, and I'm welcoming any question that any individual has. It's my pleasure to answer it. But for quite a while, I stopped saying that because, especially at the end of interviews, they would ask me, how can the people get a hold of you, John? And then I would give the contact information. I would tell them, search me out on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Go get me, you know, through my website, you know, anywhere you want. That's cool. But there have been a couple that, you know, they pushed it, and then a couple that actually went aggressive on me. And I got to tell you something. That's not why I'm in this. So that's when I go silent. And I have to back off and I have to go, wait a second. I love people. And I'm going to tell it like the way I believe it. People love me. I'm happy to answer the questions. But look, you guys got to realize that if I'm not quick in answering 5 questions, it's because that's what I do to make a living. You know, just like Eric, you know, we have, you know, a certain amount. We are willing to give the free information. I am willing to give the free information. You know, and then if it gets, you know, into the realm of a consultation, you know, just be respectful and understand that's what I do to feed my family. You know, I support 5 people. So that's my Trump-like rant at the moment. I'm not whining about it. Again, I'm going to point out, I'm living a dream daily, Eric. I'm living a dream. This is a dream job for me. I get to teach people. I get to show people how to lift. I get to show people how to eat. I mean, this is a dream. So when I can share it with other people, if I can inspire other people, if I have some kid out there that's got a question, I'm going to especially take 1 second to address the kids because you have affected a teenager, a young man that you've been training lately. And I want to also point out to the young brothers and sisters out there, if you have an interest in natural bodybuilding, even powerlifting, man, yep. Ask me the question. Shoot it to me. Get a hold of me through, whether it's social media or whether it's through, you know, my website. You find me, okay? It's worth doing it. I love giving to the young people and helping you guys out. I wish I had a guy like myself or like Eric to contact when I was your age. It just really enables, you know, us to give back a little bit and inspire some guys so that someday you'll grow up, you know, you'll become an adult, and you'll do the same for some people that some young guys, young girls that may need your help down the line. So for me, that's a rush, man, especially the teenagers, you know. And again, be respectful, guys, okay?
But all right, John.
That's all I got for you today, Eric. That's all I got. Okay. That's it.
Well, give out your website again.
It's www.intenseheart.com, INTENSEHEART.com, just like my last name, Intense Heart. It's not HART, it's HE, like the heart. So
yep,
intenseheart.com, go ahead and find it. And, you know, again, you can go through the consultation page and go ahead and shoot a question if you got it. I'm happy to reply when I get around to it. I will. And I appreciate your respect, just like I show you guys respect. I really do.
Yep. Okay. This is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Juan's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com, SorenX.com. Let me get that number because I don't have that right in front of me. You can call them at 803-978-2253, extension 111. We have Hearts Collision, but they spell that with an A. That's for New York State residents, heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Obviously, too, go out to our website, Fiorello Barbell Co., download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Like we were talking, stripped down, ready to go, put your attention into it, commit to it, take action. Not real hard to do. But I do know that some people need some help, and that's one of the things we've got out there to help you. The big thing is going to be the winner's circle. That's just about ready to go with all the new enhancements to the both websites. Check that at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. That's 12 modules of me speaking, 27 to 34 minutes. Believe me, you'll get your money's worth out of that. Don't forget about sponsorship. It's $300 a month right now, but it is going to go up. For a number of reasons, obviously. And we have, like I said early in the show, we have worked out a deal with Muscular Dystrophy, and they will get X amount of dollars off the charge, and it will go to the kids to get flu shots because their immune systems are so weak. And like I said in the beginning of the show, that's what killed my brother Jimmy, pneumonia. And I think about that every day, believe me. Chris Bigelow, he does all the magic to the sites. Chris, it's 800-687-1609. Go out to monsterdevelopment.com. And I'll leave you with a few things. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We've gotten 5-star reviews from everybody. I thank you for that because I'm telling you right now, we're going to have over 1 million-plus people listening to this show. I promise you. It's the same way with everything else that's coming down the pipe. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And then here's the things I'll leave you with. Number one, John was talking about this with people getting a hold of them. If you meet somebody in the gym or out in the concrete jungle, and I mean that by out on the street, and they come up and ask you, you know, obviously a lot of us guys and gals are very noticeable on the outside of what we've done with weights and stones and bodybuilding and whatever, man. And people come up and inquire. You know, don't be afraid to, you know, give them an answer. You know, be an ambassador for these sports, man. Don't be a jackass that walks around like he's got a stick up his ass, all right? Seriously, man, seriously. And then secondly, you know, as my mom said when we were kids, and it really means a lot to me now. It's like, never be afraid to say hello or give somebody a smile because that might be the only interaction they have with anybody. and take a look and walk around, man. I'm begging you to do this. Look at all the heads that are looking down. Watch. Look at eyes. I do it all the time. You go up and say hello to somebody, I swear to God, they're startled usually, or they look at you like you got 15 heads. That's not the world I want to live in. So, you know, just take a look around. Take a look around. You'll be amazed, you know. Thirdly, go out and lift some big hunks of iron or bust some stones in the dust tonight. And then last but not least, like the new stone says on it, we are domination, and we are going to be over a million strong. I'm telling you, we're getting out everywhere. I was telling John, I'm getting stuff from everybody, you know, Russell. The show sounded like there's testosterone dripping through my speakers, you know, or it's like, where have you been, man? It's like these shows are so intense, and we're not hearing all this negative shit we're hearing on a lot of these other podcasts and shows that the sky's falling in. Well, here's my thing. I don't want to work all day and get my balls kicked in pretty much and then turn on a podcast and hear, like that. No, when you come here, we're fucking yelling at you. All right. John, thank you for being on the show, brother.
Man, I love you, Eric, and I love you guys.
Same here, man.
I love doing it, man.
It's fun as hell to do it with you. You bring it every time. For John Hart, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll talk to you. John's on every month, but I'm going to talk to him about something else when we're off the air. John will be on, it's the last day of August. He'll be on in September. Lots of big stuff coming. Just stay tuned. That's all I can say. Have a great week, and we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.